Welcome to the Profit Cash Growth Podcast. This is the podcast for six and seven figure business owners who are looking to grow a financially successful business. My co-host, Claire Hancock, is a finance director, chartered accountant, and entrepreneur. And every week, I'll be exploring guidance and frameworks designed to help you increase your profits, improve your cash flow, and grow your business. This week on the podcast, why Next are about to breach the £1 billion annual profit mark, why it's so, so important to know the numbers in your business, and the little known thing you didn't know about the notes application on your iPhone. So this week we've got a jam-packed podcast. We've just come back from a little short trip to Italy, to Naples, which was most delightful, wasn't it, Claire?
Well, other than the food poisoning.
No,
yeah,
a bit of last-minute food poisoning. All good. But we are fighting fit again. I feel like this is becoming the podcast of the couple that are just ill all the time. You know, we'll crack on through, and let's start with this week's news story that's caught my eye. So this week in the news, I want to talk about Next. The headline is a new era for Next as it targets £1 billion in annual profit. So this year, they've posted full-year profits of £918 million, and they have big ambitions to cross that £1 billion in annual profit. But how are they doing it, Claire? What do you think? Have you had a read of the article?
Yeah, I think there's probably... I do have a little bit of an enjoyment of reading the annual statements that these big PRCs release. The next one, I think, is about 150 pages long, so it's probably not reading unless you are a particularly dull person like I am and really appreciate these numbers. But I think it's fair to say that actually most of Next growth is coming from outside the UK and also from online sales. Their retail footfall is actually down. And I think I know we have some other retail businesses that listen to this podcast, actually, and I know they're struggling with a similar thing, that generally retail is just so massively influenced by the weather in the UK now, and the weather is becoming so unpredictable that really it's becoming incredibly difficult to run a retail store these days. So yeah, most of Next growth is coming from online sales.
Brilliant. And they've got such an amazingly joined up online / physical strategy. The article talks about, and I think I would agree with this, how they have one of the best understandings in the market, how to execute an online strategy to drive sales through their physical retail stores. In total, they've got 458 shops, which is not a huge, huge number. So,
no,
you know, they're not growing through that.
Big shops.
Yes, and they've got a lot of homeware stuff as well involved in that. One of the big areas is, I don't know whether you'd call this diversification or additional product lines, but they've actually bought stakes in other clothing brands, and they include Fat Face, Reese, Jules.
Yeah, and actually this is one of the reasons why their profitability has increased so much, because they have made some quite significant acquisitions over the last few years. And when they do that, you know, of course, overnight their turnover increases, but they have been very, very effective at cost control. It's one of the things that Next cite as like their superpower. Repeatedly, they say they have incredibly stringent financial controls and they're very good at cost control. They have a platform, they refer to it as TP, and it's kind of like they're fully integrated one-stop shop of everything that a retail business would need. So when they buy somebody like Fat Face or Reese, they expect to be able to just slot that business, their website, their e-commerce, their financial system, their warehousing system, everything just needs to slot into this TP system. And that is one of the criteria that they're saying is whether they will or won't buy a company, is whether it will work on TP or not. And that is one of the reasons why they get so many synergies and cost savings from making these acquisitions.
Amazing. I think they just sound like, and always have sounded like, an organisation that have just really got themselves together in terms of their strategy and the way they want to execute it.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big thing that they've done over the last couple of years as well, since sort of 2017, is their strategy, they're quite open saying in 2017 their strategy just stopped working, their sales were declining, footfall was declining both online and in shops. So they kind of had a bit of a rethink as to what they were doing, and they doubled down on the things that were working. They looked at their numbers, they doubled down on the things that were working, and that's why they've continued to have growth onto 2024. But quite interestingly, when you look through their annual report, is a massive cost saving that they're citing from being able to renegotiate their rental contracts with their landlords. They show the before and after renegotiation, and one of the key metrics that they track is, with having, you know, 500 odd stores in the UK, they track the minimum renegotiation period that they have for their stores, and they do that on average, and that's 4.5 years. So that's still quite a long time, but I guess in the world of Next PLC, it's not that long, but it's definitely a top tip for small businesses to think about when you're signing a lease contract, is you want to make sure that you've got these things in called break clauses, which give you an opportunity to get out of the contract if you don't want to be in it. Maybe you want to shut your business, or probably more likely your business is expanding. Perhaps you need a bigger premises, or you just want to renegotiate with your landlord because you don't think you've got a good deal. A break clause is a really great way to do that. And yeah, that's something that Next Sites has been its reason that it's been able to control costs so well when costs have been increasing so much.
Yeah, I mean, they can clearly execute long-term strategies very, very well. I mean, we talked on this podcast about just a few weeks ago about the Body Shop and the trouble they've had. What do you think about the fact that their CEO's just been there and he's had longevity for so long? I think he's been there near on 20 years now. He's Lord Wolfson. Do you think that's part of why a company can execute such a long-term strategy? You know my views, because this is one I share with politicians, of being in and out like a revolving door and never really been able to deliver anything. I'm a big believer in, you know, long-term leadership.
It's an interesting one, because normally I think you're looking at these PLCs and they've got, I don't want to be rude when I say this, but they've got probably men in their 50s or 60s sitting in these board positions. But I think this Simon Wolfson, he came in when he was, I think, like,
quite young, yeah,
27,
yeah,
like really, really young,
yeah,
and he's been there for 20 years. So he's still quite young in terms of CEOs of these sort of big blue chip companies. And I think that's definitely helped, because, yeah, I'm not sure where I sit with this one in terms of whether it's a good thing for a revolving door of CEOs or longevity, because I do think that, you know, after about 5 years or so, I think most people tend to get a bit stale.
You know, fresh impetus that comes in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree with that. There's two sides of this coin, isn't there? There's something about a fresh pair of eyes, and there's something about, you know, people often say within 5 years, a CEO can execute the vision it wanted to execute. It's probably time to move on to the next thing. But equally, this guy's a seriously smart guy. I mean, this is 20 years of working on this. I mean, just to put some real context around this, which absolutely blows my mind, because I remember this story from when I was a kid, is I think my family talked about buying shares in Next, 20 years ago. And I distinctly remember them being about £2.50 a share. And I remember my mum turning around and saying, this isn't going to continue. This has just gone up so much, it just can't possibly continue. And I remember saying at the time, you know, these have just gone up and up and up, because they've gone up from 50 pence to £2.50 over the last 10, 15 years. And she said, they just can't go any further. They're just a success story that can't possibly continue, and never bought them. And today the share price is £90, you know, a mere 20 years on. £2.50 to £90, that's 3,600% more than they were that day. And my mum said these couldn't possibly continue because they were on such a bull run. And I just think it's an example where this is a company that's been on a 40-year bull run. Now, I mean, you know, they do exist, and it's tremendous. And they're talking now about going from that 918 million to 1 billion, going overseas. And, you know, are we going to look at this £90 share price now and it's going to be £1,000 in 20 years' time, and we're going to regret not putting the money in now, you know?
The thing with Next is that when you're a listed company, so you're on the stock exchange, you have to release quarterly statements and say what you're predicting your results to be and things like that. And Next famously are always very, very conservative with their results, and they always under promise and over deliver. That's historically been what people expect of Next. But I mean, their growth is definitely slowing. I think there will be a change of CEO at some point. I do think that you're right that having a stable CEO for a long term can sometimes have benefits when that is a good CEO, because it's the difference between a CEO coming in expecting to only be there for sort of 3 to 5 years. They make short-term decisions based on cutting significant costs, making short-term profits, whereas this Simon guy has been there for a long time, has been able to make the right long-term decisions, but
I love this Simon guy. He's a lord, but this Simon guy,
sorry,
will go with
Lord Wolfson. He is probably coming to the end of the fruitfulness of some of his decisions that he made, you know, back in 2020, I think, 2000 was a pivotal moment for Next, because they were one of the very first companies ever to promise next day delivery. Everybody thinks it was Amazon that was the trailblazer when it came to next day delivery, but it was actually Next that very first introduced this back in 2000. So they've had, you know, nearly 25 years of the benefits of being ahead of their peers, but their peers are catching up now. And I think that's the problem. What next for Next?
Yeah, especially with the likes of Temu and Shein and these Chinese organizations selling direct to consumer, cutting the import taxes out of the loop. It's a big issue for a lot of those type of companies.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a demographic. You know, Next possibly. is probably it'll, like
it'll be a growing
the mum market and older, and Temu and Shein and companies like this, they are targeting teens and fast fashion. So
maybe.
I can't imagine that that's causing too much of a headache for Next. Sure, yeah, for sure, it will be taking some of their market
share. Mr. Wolfson is worried about it because he's campaigning against it. So.
Well, I don't know. I do think that maybe we should. That is one of the benefits of Donald Trump, is that he thinks that they should all be banned in America and people should be buying American products first. So,
indeed.
You know, talking maybe we should
Donald
do that
Trump,
in the UK.
I mean, talking of Donald Trump, that was nearly my news story this week about his new social media company. But we won't go into that on to this week's deep dive. So this week in our deep dive, know your numbers, why it is so, so, so important. In fact, imperative in business to know your numbers and know them well. And we're talking today about management accounts, aren't we, Claire?
Yes, management accounts is my superpower. I am a chartered management accountant. So there are different types of accountants. There are some that specialise in like your year-end statutory accounts and your tax returns. And then there are people like me who study with CIMA, that's C-I-M-A, and we specialise in management accounts, which are accounts that are used internally by the business to drive business performance.
Absolutely. And I'll say this from the off now, if anybody's listening to this podcast and turns over £20,000 or more and does not get a set of accounts every single month, which they're able to look at and understand how their business is performing on a line by line detail, then they are doing something wrong straight from the off. You do not run a business from annual accounts. They're very different. And why are they different, Claire? What is the difference between management accounts and annual accounts that a lot of business owners will be aware of?
Well, the most significant difference is the frequency. So your management accounts, you would be looking at, normally you'd be looking at monthly, but in, you know, I've worked in big blue chip organizations where we're doing what we would call a flash account, and we're literally doing it weekly. We're keeping on top of our costs and our performance on a weekly basis. So most businesses though need monthly. And I'd say if you're a really, really small business, I'd say maybe like sub 50K or even 100K, you could probably get away with doing it quarterly. But best practice is absolutely monthly for management accounts. So that's the most significant difference. But aside from the frequency, the biggest difference with your statutory accounts is that there is actually a legal way that you have to publish your accounts. So these are the accounts that go onto Companies House and are publicly searchable. And there is a legal format for that. And therefore, every business, no matter what their size, every small business has exactly the same format. But not every small business has exactly the same structure, exactly the same cost base, exactly the same performance metrics that matter to it. And that's where your management accounts come in, because your management accounts should be in the format that is the most helpful for the business. It should be the most helpful for understanding what is and isn't working, and it should be the most helpful for understanding where your attention needs to be focused. So using the legal statutory format will not enable you to do that.
Yeah. And actually, management accounts are highly customizable, aren't they, Claire? So, you know, if you specifically want to drill down or analyze a certain cost base or a certain revenue line, you can start to post those costs and revenues specifically on that line and then track them month after month, year after year, and it becomes incredibly invaluable, really. Just talk to us a bit about that sort of customization that, you know, I like a lot of GL lines. Or what is a GL line for people that I like a lot? Some people like less, and, you know, that's the great thing about it.
Yeah, so a GL line, it means general ledger, or actually in a lot of the online software packages, it's probably called a nominal code or an account code. And that just means when you're putting your invoices onto your system, maybe you've got Sage or Xero, ClearBooks, QuickBooks, any of those, you have to code it somewhere. You have to say what that expense is for. So you might say it's travel expenses, or you might say it's marketing. So what you do is you group all of your invoices into these nominal codes, and then you group the nominal codes into management account categories. And that's how you build your P&L up. One of my top tips that I would give is that, you know, as with annual statutory accounts, where I said that they have a certain legal format, when you, for example, sign up to Xero or QuickBooks or Sage, anything like that, they also just have this out the box format that will work for most businesses, but is not necessarily tailored to your business. And it's so incredibly important that you tailor your management accounts to what your business needs, because that's how you get the most value out of them. So you can change the format of your P&L or your balance sheet, your cash flow, whatever it is that you're looking at. you can completely customize that to your requirements. So just because it's out the box in Xero and that's what Xero says doesn't mean that you necessarily have to have that format. So speak to Xero, speak to your bookkeeper, your accountant, whoever it is that's managing that Xero software or QuickBooks, Sage, whatever you're using, because they can customize your management accounts and really make it most helpful and most easy to use.
Great. So who should be producing these management accounts? Should it be me or as the business owner or the accountant or somebody else?
So there's probably three ways that a business can go about getting management accounts. The first one is to simply run your reports out of your own bookkeeping software. So, you know, I've mentioned Xero, Sage, QuickBooks, all of those, your bookkeeping software. You can go on and you can run a profit and loss, or you can run a balance sheet or a cash flow statement from those systems. So that's probably the basic thing that you can do. The reason why I put that as the basic is because you tend to have the out-the-box, non-customized. And really, what you want is you want your bookkeeper, ideally, the next sort of what I'd say the silver standard would be that you would have a bookkeeper, you know, maybe run those reports for you, have a look over them, maybe add some comments onto them for you. That should be the minimum that you're getting if you're paying a bookkeeper or somebody like that to do your management account. So I would expect a customized report that's got some commentary in and explains where your attention needs to be focused. Now, if you're going for the absolute gold standard, that's where you come and you use a specialist like me, who's a chartered management accountant, has got plenty of years experience, and that is sort of the only thing that I do is this. And we produce a completely tailored report for your business, and it's all interlinked. So you'll have a profit and loss, you'll have a balance sheet, you'll have a cash flow, you'll have a KPI report, and all of these will have commentary on. So you'll still get your full P&L from us, so you can understand your income, your expenses, your profit. But more importantly, what we're doing is we're highlighting exactly what you need to pay attention to, because there might be 40, 50 lines on your profit and loss and you don't need to look at all of them. Where does your attention as a business owner need focusing, and what actions do you need to take? What things do you need to be aware of? Where are your trends moving? What costs are going up? What costs are going down? And what we think the knock-on impact of that would be. So you've got three options. You've got bronze, which would be just run it yourself out of your online bookkeeping software. You've got silver, which would be to ask your bookkeeper to do it for you. And then you've got the gold standard, yeah, which would be to come and work with a company like Profit Cash Growth.
Yeah. So would all, if I go to my bookkeeper and ask them to do me management accounts and just, you know, report on it once a month, would all bookkeepers know what I was on about and it would be that easy? Or
no, I mean, unfortunately, it's one of the, I don't want to be, you know, disrespectful to bookkeepers, because they're very skilled people, but they're skilled in bookkeeping. And that is the posting of the day-to-day transactions. So posting your invoices, doing your bank reconciliations, maybe doing your payroll, VAT returns, things like that. I did a qualification. It took me 4 or 5 years to become fully qualified just in management accounts. So from that perspective, the bookkeeping qualifications out there, they might have one module, which is normally optional, and is normally about 12 to 16 hours of study on management accounts. Yeah. So that gives you an idea of the sort of the difference in skill level. I think if you're a small business that's turning over low six figures or five figure turnover, you could probably get away with using your bookkeeper. But certainly when you're getting over 400 to 500K turnover, I would really question whether your bookkeeper is providing you with the information that you need to run your business. And if your bookkeeper isn't, then you need to make sure that you've got the skill set to fill that gap.
Well, I guess at that point, it's not just about getting a set of management accounts, because, you know, most business owners would probably say they didn't go into business because they're great with numbers and accounts. Yeah. They went into it because they're a great salesperson or they want to deal with customers. And actually, you know, unlocking the understanding of those accounts is where the real value actually comes. And, you know, if you were a big enough business, you'd have a full-time finance manager or whoever that is, accountant in your business doing that for you. But you don't do that until you reach a certain size. There is a hybrid, isn't there? And that middle ground is probably, you know, getting the management accounts with a good commentary with it, with somebody who's can, you know, with a fresh pair of eyes, look at your business every month and guide you through that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting, actually. There's a post on my Facebook page this week, and it's a business that I'm working with. And when you have experience like me of just working with numbers constantly and there's an art form to taking a number and displaying it so that it paints a picture. And we took a business's last, I think it was like this last 6 years worth of sales, and we split it quarterly. And we said, okay, look at this business had, you know, almost doubled its turnover in the last 6 years, but all of that growth had come in like quarter two and quarter three, and quarter one had been completely stagnant. There was zero growth in quarter one at all. And the business owner, when I sat down and sort of presented this to the business owner, and he said, oh, well, it's because of X, Y, and Z. We've got new customers and they don't work in these industries. They're summer businesses. And I was like, I fully understand all of that. I understand the business reasons behind it. Are you aware that the implications of this means that you've got underutilized assets in Q1? You've got underutilized staff. So you've literally got staff sitting around being paid to do nothing, and you've got assets sitting around not being utilized. And you're turning business away in Q2 and Q3 because you're at full capacity. And also you're going to have cash flow issues. So all of these, when you know how to skew a number and how to present it in the right way, it becomes incredibly valuable. So out of that, the most important thing with your management accounts is that you then say, okay, so what action do we need to take to drive this number in the right direction? Yeah. And it was, we now need to target customers in non-summer based industries.
Well, I guess they're called management accounts for a reason, and that's either they're accounts for the management or they're accounts to help you manage. And
yes,
actually, they're both.
They're both, absolutely.
And you've got to question how you can sustainably and accurately manage your business without those accounts. They are the absolute blueprint that is driving the business.
Yeah, 100%. Your management accounts, if they are delivered to you in the right way, your management accounts tell you exactly what isn't working in your business. Yeah. So you know what isn't working and you need to fix it. And you know what is working and you need to 10x it. You need to do more of that stuff that is working. And it covers absolutely everything from your sales and marketing to your most profitable products to even your most profitable or efficient employees. You can normally tell all of this information when you know how to understand the numbers.
Do you know when you really love management accounts is when you are so eager to get your hands on it. You'll know this from doing my accounts for my businesses, Claire, that I am chasing like day four, day five of the month. Like, when will the accounts be ready? When will they be ready? Because I'm just desperate to look at the P&L and just analyze it and understand where I am. For me, it's part of the reward of being in business, the fact that I can see the results or the fruits of my labor for that month. And it keeps me going month after month after month to see that growth. And, you know, because I do want to grow. And I think it just baffles me when I talk to, it baffles me the size of some of the businesses that I talk to.
Oh,
I talked to
staggering.
One the other week that turns over £1.8 million and only has annual accounts.
Yeah, you're leaving it to chance. If you
Completely.
Get that big and you don't know how much profit you're making, you don't know what your overheads are and therefore what your break-even point is, you don't know how much gross margin you're making, you don't know if you can afford a new employee, you don't know if you can afford that more expensive IT system. Mm-hmm. It's baffling to me that businesses
yes.
get to this size, because it's not even that expensive.
No.
You know, to come and work with a business like me, you're talking like hundreds of pounds a month. It's not significant sums in the grand scheme of things. And in a year, you should easily get that money back in increased profitability in a business.
I think these things pay for themselves almost instantaneously. They're so valuable. They are absolute must-haves in businesses if you're a serious business owner and you want to run your business seriously.
And I think that when I was talking about sort of bronze, silver, gold, you know, you get your bookkeepers and they are capable of producing a set of management accounts for you and sending it to you. But it's that, what actions
what
as a business owner do you need to take to get your business either back on track so it is performing how you want it to perform, or to capitalize on that good performance and continue that across your business? And I think that's where the difference between a specialist like myself and a bookkeeper is that my job then becomes, okay, it's a given that you're going to get really good financial information, but the value that you get from a specialist like me is actually from helping you to drive those numbers. Yeah. So we're not looking and saying this was the performance, we're looking and saying this was the performance, where are we going to be next month and how do we make sure we get there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why in big business, the chief financial officer is the second highest paid person after the CEO, because those guys are the ones that drive the business from the numbers.
100%. I mean, you know, good CFOs are multi six figure salaries now. So, and that's not in a blue chip company, that's just in a local company. You know, we're near Milton Keynes, and Milton Keynes CFOs, FDs, 100, 150K salary plus bonus, car benefits, they're very, very expensive. And, you know, you can't hold down a job like that if you don't deliver value. That's
Indeed.
The reality.
So if you don't have monthly management accounts, do it now. Do not procrastinate one more minute. And let's move on to this week's Profit Cash Growth Extra. So in this week's Profit Cash Growth Extra, I have got a nifty little tool, which I think the majority of people will already have, but not even know they have. And it's been a game changer for me. And it's the scanner function within the Notes application on iPhone. So that's that little yellow notepad looking application on the iPhone. If you go into the app and you open a new note, there's a little tab that says, I think you click on the camera and you click scan documents, and you can simply scan page after page after page.
So I'm actually trying to do this as Simon speaks, because even I don't know about this, but I don't even have the Notes app on my iPhone anymore. I've deleted it because I never use it. So what do I need to do?
Because you didn't know how much value this had.
I need to download the Notes app.
Yeah, the Notes app is great. And you can literally, I mean, I use it for signing contracts and literally everything, because, you know, we've got one of those big, great big scanners in the office, but it's just a hassle. You know, now I can just print stuff off at home, print it off wherever I am, scan it. You scan page after page after page and it links all the documents into one PDF. So you can literally scan a 30 page contract and you scan it using the camera on your phone. It scans it in, you know, more than adequate quality certainly more than adequate quality. I use it for contracts for solicitors for property purchasing, and always acceptable. And I just use it just to scan and save everything digitally that I've got. So, you know, if I have a bit of paper come through the door in the post, I just scan it, stick it in Google Drive and save it. It's an absolute sort of game changer, because it's all automatic in the way that it works. And honestly, if you haven't found it, check it out. It will literally change your life. Of course, you can pay for one of the scanner apps that are out there. You know, they cost a couple of quid a month and they probably do the same thing. But this is all free. It's all integrated into your iPhone under the Notes app. So that's it for another week's podcast. We'll be back next week to go through some more news stories and some more juicy deep dives. In the meantime, if you did want to check out Profit Cash Growth, you can go to the website, profitcashgrowth.com. You can go to the Facebook page, the Instagram.
Yeah, just drop me an email. Also, we have a special offer at the moment, actually, for any businesses that are interested in management accounts. You can get 50% off your first 3 months worth of management accounts if you want to work with me and the team and get your management accounts and improve your business and drive your performance. So yeah, drop me an email at claire@profitcashgrowth.com or info@profitcashgrowth.com, and just quote the Profit Cash Growth podcast, and that offer is valid until the end of May.
Excellent. Lovely. We'll see you all again next week.